Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Rocket Mortgage, confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from Unreal on Hulu, Sarah Shapiro, with Gina Grad on News. And now, with a rich history of, with a rich family history of being neither dads nor grads, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on, got to get it on, a choice but to get a man to get on. Thanks for tuning in. For telling a friend that we love that you share this program with others. Ball Brian once again out, and it's not really his fault. We're having to gang tape a couple of these things because I'm having to go to New York. And good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
I will tell you a story. Remind me to tell you a story.
Okay.
First, I will tell you about UFC. Fight Pass, go to UFC.com.tv, UFC.tv/Corolla. And MedMen, we love MedMen over here, MedMen.com, Blinds Galore as well. I will say there was a point, some of you know this story, where radio, the business of radio had fallen apart. And it kind of fell apart like many businesses do, like, and everyone just thinks sort of onward and upward or whatever, but businesses and even invisible businesses kind of come and they go. And what I mean is it's not all about, well, somebody's got to make those saddles and right. buggy whips and stuff. Like, I get that. But then there's other stuff. Like, I remember the big .com in the 90s and Dr. Drew telling me, Dr. Drew.com is worth $50 million. And I was like, no, it's not. And how? And then it just all went away. Right. You know, it's like invisible business. And radio is sort of invisible business. And radio, there was a business model for radio that and it's not publicized, and it's
it's rarely discussed. So people understand that in the heyday of late night, David Letterman was getting, I don't know, $32 million a year, and Jay Leno was getting $27 million right. a year. And it's not the kind of thing that either one of them would ever bring up on their show, but it was published or it was out there, mm-hmm. or people kind of knew it. What people didn't know is that in the radio world, local guys doing morning radio were getting several million dollars each. And now, not local in Indiana, but local in L.A. or New York or whatever.
Top five market.
There was money going yeah. around yep. and money and people that were mediocre in the talent department. And I don't mean that in a real pejorative way, even though, of course, it sounds that way. But I mean, guys that could not go and do 8 minutes of stand-up right. comedy competently.
Good traffic cops for the morning.
Right. Guys who could not host a late night right. show or could not do, you know, write a spec script for Married with Children or something. We're getting millions of dollars right. doing comedy. Just kind of insane. And there was a lot of money going around. Right. And then at a certain point, it all just kind of went away. And when it all went away, my job went away and many people's jobs went away. And not only did the jobs go away, but there was no multi-million dollar anything to return to.
Right.
So it wasn't like, well, I made $2 million doing morning radio and I just got shit canned. So I'll just go find another $2 million morning radio show job.
No other platform.
Didn't exist.
Yeah.
They didn't have anything. So it went away. And for those of us who did radio, it was like, well, someone's going to have to take a haircut or not work or something. Phone didn't ring. Nothing happened for me after I lost my radio job. And at a certain point, DirecTV came calling and they said, I think, we'll give you $1 million a year to do like a simulcast, like every night, something like 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., do it down at the DirecTV building down by LAX. We'll film it, and we'll do it like Rich Eisen show or Dan, well, what's the name show or whatever, that those kinds of shows. We'll film it, and it'll be a Dan Patrick. One of those shows. I like both those guys. We'll film it, and we'll make a radio show, and we'll be like syndicated, and we'll give you $1 million.
Sounds good.
I said, wow, there are no other jobs out there for that. But then I started thinking, every single night from 7 to 10. And that means I can't go anywhere nope. on a Friday.
Nope.
I have to go Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. And that means if Baldwin calls and says, can you do Match Game on a Tuesday, I can't go to New York yeah. and go do it. It's the middle of the week. Yeah. I couldn't go do a race or go do something. I can't be flexible mm-hmm. in my schedule. And the money, you know, I wasn't thinking about the money and I wasn't really thinking about the broadcasting. And they were telling me, well, you know, we're going to build you a studio and we'll put whoever you want around you. And everything was good. I couldn't get past the schedule. I was like, so often I want to come in Friday morning, do a podcast, and hit the road, yep. you know, for the weekend or whatever, and realizing I couldn't get out.
Yeah, it's half your weekend.
On a Friday. And I was like, the fact that it wasn't flexible mm-hmm. was the part that was like the stumbling block yeah. for me. And so thank God for you guys, and thank God for podcasting, and thank God we've been able to keep going. That was probably 9 years ago. But that flexibility, which is something I think people think about how much you get paid when it comes to work. They think about benefits. They think about commute and perks, lunch, cafeteria, sure. office, whatever. Flexibility is kind of a big deal.
It's huge.
Like, can you work from your house? Can you work on an airplane? Can you take it with you?
Yeah.
Can you get it done on a Saturday and not have to come in on a Monday? Like, flexibility, man.
I couldn't agree more. And the 3 years I was doing this and the morning show at the same time, though it was really challenging and really rewarding and the money was fantastic, it was killing my soul, those hours, that 14-hour day, you know, getting up at 3:30 in the morning and not having that flexibility, even for us to go out and, you know, do weekend stuff and having to sort of rejigger some of that. And now being back to a life where I'm kind of in hustle mode, I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I love it too. And speaking of hustling, UFC Fight Pass. Be the first to see the future of UFC. Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series is back for a second season exclusively on UFC Fight Pass. I love all things UFC. Fighters get the opportunity to earn a UFC contract on the spot with Dana White himself. Starting June 12th, well, that's coming up, every week the best undiscovered talent in MMA will compete live. Just download the UFC Fight Pass app or go to UFCFightPass.com. I think I'm going to get the Miocic,
easy for you to say.
Cormier, figure it out. Watch anywhere, anytime. And right now, for my fans, head to UFC.tv/Carolla. Sign up and watch the entire season of Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series for only $14.99. Dawson.
Just head to UFC.tv/Carolla for the special 2-month offer. Until August 7th, you'll be able to watch Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series live every week. Don't wait. Go to UFC.tv/Carolla and lock in the special $14.99 price to watch the entire season of Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series and gain access to the largest on-demand fight library in the world, exclusively on Fight Pass.
I got a couple things for you, Gina Grano. One, you're not going to care about.
Okay, great.
The other, you're going to care deeply about.
Dollywood.
Even more deeply.
Oh, okay.
Than Dollywood. I got to say, I spoke to a guy named Naveen Jain, who's, look him up, Max Pat. I was so intrigued talking to him about the subject we're talking about on Take a Knee. You can subscribe and get all the archives as well. And
what do you do? Podcast One Premium.
Couple bucks a month, commercial free hour with this dude. Unbelievable. I'm very much interested in, you know, living a higher quality of life. I think everyone is, but I think sometimes people think that just means watching more movies or getting cooler outfits or something like that. But I love it. I love it when I hear the truth. Or I know, I guess what it is I'm not a scientist, I'm not an engineer, I'm not anything, but when you hear something that's right, you go, yeah, that's right.
I can't wait.
Oh yeah, I'm very interested in this guy. And I want to give him a plug to his program. I'll tell you more about that in a second.
So just to be sure, I have to wade through the thing I don't care about to get to the thing I do care about.
That's right.
Okay, great.
People say to me all the time when it comes to cars, old race cars or whatever, they're always like, who, what, like, how come? Like, no, or I don't get it. Or who'd pay $1 million for an old whatever? Like, why would it, whatever. Somebody tweeted me an article over the weekend with it. Go ahead and give it to me, Max Zapata, if you have it.
Yeah, so,
or show a picture of it or whatever.
So Sunday Express writes that a Ferrari 250 GTO sells for world record 52 million euros.
70 million bucks.
Yep.
$70 million.
Jeez. Oh my God.
Car. $70 million.
On its face, is that a $70 million car?
Well, there's nothing that's $70 million on
does
its,
it fly?
On its face.
It's
a very good looking car. And it's a Ferrari. And they made 34 of them. They didn't make three of them. There's 34 GTOs. All I am saying is, at some point in 1999, somebody paid $12.5 million for this car, and somebody's wife or friend or neighbor was pissed. Like, you just paid $12 million for a car?
Divorce.
I tell people all the time, yes, come back when it's $50 million. And they go, well, how could it get to $50 million? It's like, it got to $12 million. You can find ads. Max Bada, here's some fun homework for you.
Yay.
You can find ads in like the back of like Roden Track from 1966 that says like Ferrari GTO $7,000, like $8,500, like literally ads, like wanted ad, you know,
right,
classified. Penny saver classified ads. So I don't know. It can get from, you know, $8,000 to $12 million. It can get from 12 to 70. And you think this person's insane, ring him up in 5 years when it's $100 million and then go, oh, that guy just made $30 million for doing nothing for 5 years.
And the story with this car, it has a lot of history, right? That's kind of the whole point.
Came in fourth overall, Le Mans, kind of one of its big deal. But when people were asking me if I was nuts for buying a car that came in second overall at Le Mans, in 79, there's my answer.
Wow.
It's an insane world where race cars have taken over the street cars.
Right. Now, you have a giant collection. What's the biggest appreciation you've experienced so far? Or do you know? Or do you keep track?
My son and my daughter are what I appreciate the most. And as a thespian, my greatest role is that of a father.
That's a satisfying answer.
1963 Ferrari GTO, ex-Belgium hill climb champion, mechanically perfect, untouched and completely original. $1,500 spent on concoursing since photo. They would like $8,500.
Steep.
For this. I don't know what year this ad for. It's the exact same car. They went $8,500 for it.
Just sometime in the 60s is all there.
Yeah.
Damn.
All right.
I'm going to call that number.
Now, that car might not be... That car, and by the way, I would love to have a conversation of the guy calling the other guy, because they just had phones back then. Like, and I like when they'd go, call in the evening at this number, call the day. When I'm on the toilet, call this number. Like, you'd have to tell people, like, what time, like, where, you know, whatever. You know, it'd be the greatest conversation ever. Now, the Ferrari GTO, they made 34 of them. They have various histories. This one went for $70 million because it had a good history. There are cars that have weak histories, and that you could pick up for $25 million, let's say, if it had a bad history. I don't know what the particular history, back Max Pata to the ad, the classified ad. I don't know what the history of that car said, won a hill climb, whatever. Go ahead, Max Pata.
That's all it says.
Back to the... I don't need to see the picture of the car that I'm talking about. I know what that car looks like. Back to the ad, please. I don't know what the history is. It won a hill climb. It's got some history. Okay. So it's not worth $70 million. It's worth $50.
Unbelievable.
Or let's go lowball, $40. It's worth $40 million.
Not a penny more.
But at some point, somebody is alive. Their dad sold it for $8,500. Here's why I want to hear that conversation. That was the asking price. You know, some dude was on the phone with him going, $8,500? Wow. I mean, it's a Ferrari. It's fine. But $8,500, I could get two Cadillac Eldorados. Two. For $8,500 in 1969. You know, like, the craziest stories are the guys who traded this thing in for a new... I got a new Cadillac, and I only gave him this car and $1,000. Like... Crazy that, but somebody's dad sold this car, and again, someone's on the phone going, won the hill climb, but didn't win Le Mans, like $8,500. I mean, understand, I could buy a big block Corvette in 1969 for $5,000, and you want $8,500 for your used car? Let's call it $79.50. I didn't just fall off the turnip truck. And you know the guy who wanted $8,500 is going like, I get it. 85's a little rich, but can we meet at $8,200?
Out the door. Pick it up tonight.
How many people passed? How many people went, look.
Too rich.
$7,500 cash. I'll bring it to your house tonight. And the guy went, I'm sorry, I need $8,000. He went, I'm moving on.
I'm out.
Oh, like, God. Like, how many? Because that car's $40 million. When I say 40, it could be $57 million. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
That's the deal. So It got from $8,500 to $50 million, and if you ask how this thing's getting from 70 to 100, just wait and watch.
What does concoursing mean?
Concoursing is a weird word, although I love scrutineering. Max, please do not remove this thing because I'm reading it in front of me.
It's 1500. Sorry,
$1,500 spent on concoursing. Since I'm guessing they meant making it nice. Because a concourse, like they have like the Concourse Italiano. It's like take all your cars out and put them on. Mm-hmm. You can look it up. I don't know. I think it means detailing and
spiffing it up.
Yeah, that's what I think it means. But you can look it up. Again, scrutineering. That's it. That's a word. There's three words now. Concoursing, I like. Scrutineering, I like. And homologation.
What? That sounds Hebrew.
Homologation. Homologation means they wanted to race these cars as a production, not a prototype, a production car. They had to make a certain batch of them.
Oh.
You can't make one car and go, oh, this is a street car. Like, no, it's not. It's
right.
A prototype.
Right.
Well, if I make 100 of them, then it's a race car. I'll homologate. That's what that means.
Good word.
All right. Then something that you're going to, now you're going to fall in love.
Can't wait.
I'll tell you about it in a second. You can take it down now, Max Pattis. Sorry. Oh, it says 36 made. And sometimes, also, they don't know. Also, you'll hear like this number or that number. Like back in the day, old Lamborghinis and like old Ferraris didn't really keep track that. They didn't have computers or anything. It's kind of made notes and threw stuff in files. MedMen, redefining the cannabis industry, empowering you to exercise your right to purchase cannabis. Premium shopping experience, wide range of products with knowledgeable and approachable staff who find out what's best for you. Gina, what do you know?
Yeah, I've been there a handful of times. And the reason I keep going back is it's state of the art. The facility is so sleek. The people are so knowledgeable. The products are top notch. There's really no reason to go anywhere else.
I agree wholeheartedly. And now through, wait a minute, what's the date today?
Valentine's Day?
The date. Yeah. Oh, no, sorry, through the 30th. Yeah. Huge sale. Favorite brands like Bloom, Papa and Barkley, Triple J, and more. 40% off, plus 10% off if you mention me. Highest quality and safety. Don't worry about a thing, and don't worry about what you're buying. It's all been vetted. Check it out online. 8 locations, L.A., Orange County, San Diego, or Vegas. Visit MedMen.com. MedMen.com. Dawson.
Plus, visit MedMen and tell them you heard about them on the Adam Carolla Show for $10 off your order in addition to the 40% off select items. Check out MedMen today.
All right. Take on a band and take on bad habits.
Interesting.
All right. So please tell me about Naveen Jain, by the way, Max Zapata. I don't know what he's got to do with the moon. He's an overachiever. He's so insane that we were just talking about one aspect of his life. Yes.
He's a tech genius, hands in a lot of different pots, but his new company is Viome, and they take your samples and they send you back a big report on
that
your
much
gut
I'm
health.
Acutely Ooh. Aware of. The part I wanted to know about the moon, about him and the moon and other things he's doing. This is he's not even trying to make money off this Viome thing, which you should write down for me, if you would, Max Pass, so I don't mispronounce it or something. Go ahead.
All right. So he co-founded Moon Express in 2010, and they build machine-operated spacecrafts to mine materials like gold, cobalt, platinum, nuclear energy fuel from the moon.
All right. God. Didn't talk to him for 8 seconds about that, which is pretty interesting. He's
it's revolutionary.
Very Indian guys, you'll hear from his accent, but started talking to him about the gut and the bowel and the enzymes and all the stuff that live in your gut and then how that affects things. But we'll play a quickie clip. I'm not sure which one it is. The guy's on Take a Knee coming up this Monday. Go ahead.
Remember, all of us live, trillions of us live inside the gut. We put a direct connection right from the gut to their brain. Can you believe they call that a vagus nerve? They thought they're going to name it after Las Vegas, thinking what happens in the gut is going to stay in the gut. They're so wrong. What happens in the gut goes everywhere. And guess what? what makes them feel good, this thing, serotonin thing, we don't let them produce much of that. 90% of that, we produce it ourselves.
In the gut.
In the gut. And here's the best part. We use these things, neurotransmitter, they call them, dopamine and all this stuff to control their behavior. So we control their mood, we control their behavior, we control their emotions. And guess what happens? Like a good leader, we make them think they are the one who are making the decision. We sit here and keep pulling the strings. So sit back, relax, we have taken over the world.
All right. Max Pat, I'd say that clip probably needs a little setup because he's talking about the gut talking.
Okay.
It's a little confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next life. But what I'm saying is the gut, and our guts are all different.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I found insanely interesting about this is, well, first things first, what is going on in your gut is affecting your mood.
Yep.
It's affecting your sleep. It's affecting your temperament.
Absolutely.
It's affecting your ability to focus and concentrate. It's affecting everything. It's
right.
Not your brain.
Nope.
Affecting your guts, your gut affecting your brain. So that was interesting. There's been discussion on it. It goes back. But what he was saying is you have enzymes and things going on in you that are much different than what's going on in me. And so saying, hey, eat a lot of spinach, have a lot of almonds, eat protein, stay away from dairy. I don't know if that's good for you or not, and
right.
You don't either, and it may be good for me and not for you. Spinach may be horrible for you on what's going on in the enzymes,
right, the
in
flora.
Your in the bacteria in your gut.
Right.
So we don't know.
Right.
Also how it affects all of the diseases and all the things that come from it. So he has a company that I am going to get into with my kids and my wife and everything. They just take a stool sample and then they report back to you and they go, right now you're eating a lot of this, or you think, you know, you've listened to Vinnie Tortorich and Vinnie Tortorich said, eat a lot of macadamia nuts. Don't do it.
Not for you.
Not for you. And the report may come back to me that I should be eating more.
Right.
Or whatever it is. Dawson's going to double down on the green machine, man. And more burritos, just in big, bold letter.
He's burrito deficient.
He's lying burritos. It was really interesting.
I was
thinking to myself, well, first off, I realized, like, what I have, you have conversations with people all the time where they go, like, I cannot eat that, mm-hmm. or I cannot eat that.
Which
I go,
you don't understand.
I don't. Dr. Drew cannot have a piece of dust from a bottle of garlic powder in his pasta without having a severe reaction physically, like just creating
wow.
bloating and gas and everything else. He was also talking about inflammation, mm-hmm. as Vinny talks about, mm-hmm. but these foods causing are inflammatory. Now, I said to him, what's the one? I get it. Everyone's different. What's the one universal? Mm-hmm. The universal sugar.
Right.
Sugar's
very
universal.
Very inflammatory.
Very inflammatory. And that's the universal.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, we got to see what you're doing. So we've all heard the thing. My wife's very different than I am.
Right.
And there's a lot of people's like, oh, I can't do milk, or I can't
right.
do dairy, or I can't do spicy, or mm-hmm. I can't do garlic like Dr. Drew, whatever. And you kind of go, oh, yeah, he can't do garlic. And then you just sort of move on. But why can't he do garlic?
Yeah.
What's going on with his gut that he can't do garlic and I can't get enough garlic?
Right.
And then wouldn't you want to know what, like, literally you're going to get findings. You send in your sample, you get your kit, and 2 weeks later they basically tell you, and they just run it down, like, you, if you are eating a lot of this, mm-hmm. you are wrong. And so many people, I'm sure, are just walking around completely inflammatory, and then that leads to every other disease.
Yep. And
after
then
that,
you just keep begging for more band-aids with more side effects, more medicine, more pharma.
Well, now you're getting antibiotics,
yeah,
and now you're killing this stuff,
yeah,
instead of having the good stuff flourish. This notion of, I'm gonna take a pill, and of course I don't like to talk about myself, but the Purell and the antibacterial mm-hmm. soap, insane,
yeah.
It's insanely bad. The antibacterial. Oh, wash the hands. Or everyone Purell and then hug my kid and then back to Purelling again. Like, It's horrible.
Yeah.
Of course, because it's killing all of this stuff that we need, which is all we are, right, is this bacteria. So wouldn't you guys all like to know, like, for instance, you go like, well, I can't have pizza because, you know, it's all the flour and the dough and the yeast or whatever. It may be the tomato sauce,
right,
that you can't do on your pizza and not the dough,
right,
and the cheese. And wouldn't you like to know that?
Not only would I like to know, I've done this. I not through this company, but I did this with my functional internist or whatever last year. The process of getting it is a little traumatic, but once you can get over that, this was fascinating. And I'd love to do his because there might be more knowledge now that we didn't have then. But we did find out that I have celiac, and that, you know, gluten destroys the feely or whatever in your GI tract. It thinks it's an enemy, and it does cause. I came into this doctor, you know, as you know, overweight at the time, lethargic, depressed, anxious. I said, just give me something, cure me. What's my new, you know, exercise plan? She's like, I think it's deeper than that. Let's see what's going on in your gut. And so much of that is completely gone because exactly that. I was eating stuff that was making my gut angry and was making my body useless.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting if we can all think of those days where, like, I'm just not in a good mood today. I'm not into it today. Like, I'm just moody and I'm like short temper and I'm just not enjoying today. And you always think it's like a headspace thing. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you worrying about?
Right.
Are you thinking about bills or something? But it's like, no, it's global.
Yep.
Like, it's global. Like, I'm lucky I don't have too many of these days, but once in a while I have these sort of global days where it's like everything sucks. And I'm thinking, well, what are you specifically intellectually worried about? Like, are you worried about money? Right. Worried about your family? Worried about bills, taxes? Like, what are you worried about? It's like, nothing. Yeah. I just feel sort of globally this way. And it must be emanating from my gut because why would I globally feel this way?
You're absolutely right. And that's why the brain, from what I understand, the brain will make up a reason to fit how you're feeling. So you're going to attach it to, oh, I got in a fight with my wife or, oh, money. But you're right. It's probably happening inside your body. I can't wait to hear this interview.
Oh, me neither. I wish I had the name of his company written down somewhere.
Viant? What are you?
I don't know, Max Pata, we put the name of the company,
Viome.
Put the name down on the goddamn screen so I can, because, well, A, I asked for it, but B,
okay, yeah,
put
but
it
then,
on
but
there.
But then Dylan announced it to you, so I thought you were you had it.
All right. But then what? Wait, what happened?
Oh, well, when you were asking for it, Dylan went on mic and said his company is Viome, and he said, oh, yeah, I know that. Let me know about the moon thing. So I thought, okay, you already know.
No, I didn't. I know. What I was saying is I didn't want Dylan to explain to me what the guy did. I was going to explain what the guy did. I want to know about the moon thing. That's why I said, tell me about the moon thing. And then he went, his company's Viome, you take stool samples and you send them. And I'm like, yeah, I know that. I want that. I said to you later, but let's just pretend I didn't ask or Dylan was never born.
Okay. All right.
If a guy has a company name that's a weird company name and I'm plugging it, feel free to write it on the screen so I can look down and go, it's called, so I don't have to go, see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And if I ask for it, especially feel free to write Viome. It's Viom. He's a billionaire. He doesn't want any money. He wants every school child, not in the United States, in the world. He just wants everyone to get dialed in and eat what you're supposed to eat and then go flourish. Could you imagine? Look, I'm not weirdo, hippy-dippy, Billy Jack's girlfriend getting raped by the river chick, but I don't know. I bet we could cut down on school shootings if some of these guys had their guts kind of in order.
Yeah.
I'll bet a lot of what's going on in the inner city would be straightened out. I bet you some test scores might pop up. I bet there'd be less road rage. I bet there'd be less domestic abuse.
Yeah.
Less cancer.
Absolutely less cancer.
Less everything.
Yes.
So, okay.
What's
call me old-fashioned. Let's go get the gut straightened out.
I wonder if Big Pharma would try to squash this at all.
They are not fans.
I can't imagine they would be.
They are not fans, but that's what the internet can do. All right. I see people walking around out there, Max Bat. I don't know if our guests are here.
They just walked in. Dylan's going to greet them.
You're batting 1,000. Blinds galore. You got a little thing that says when the guests are here, right?
Yeah. They just walked in the door.
All right. So what do? They walk in, and then we count to 25 Mississippi, and then
I'm waiting for Dylan to greet them.
Gut check time.
Oh.
Blinds galore.
That's good.
Come on.
No, I'm saying I've been seeing people like walk through the window.
There's no way you've been seeing people. That was the first one. Her publicist was walking around. She just got here.
Okay, well, I saw her publicist walking around. I saw action outside of the door, which would suggest the thing. All right.
All right.
Okay. I'm saying the same moment you find out a guest is here, have your hand, have your gut, tell your brain to take your hand and put the guest is here thing on the thing.
All right.
Because otherwise, it'll be confusing for me because I'll see a bunch of people. Yeah, you're shaking your head.
Felt
go
it.
Ahead.
All right. No, I see what you're saying.
You go, Dylan just told me they got here. That's fine. But the note that says the guest is here is sitting in front of you. So just do it immediately. Just go right on it.
Okay.
It'll solve any.
Look, people come in with entourages. I see two people on the security camera walking in. So Dylan goes out to greet them to check. There could have been a chance that it could have been her entourage or, you know, people's friends come in before.
That is
so
completely.
So I wait until I get confirmation from someone who talked to him. Hey, she's here.
Oh, well, if you didn't get that, then I apologize. You said Dylan told me they just got here.
Yeah, he's going to go greet them. And then I wait for the confirmation.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's fine.
System.
Wait for the confirmation. Then I apologize.
She's here. I want to put the sign up.
All right, put the sign up. We have a little note that says when the guest's here, so I know whether to like filibust right. or wrap it up or whatever. Blinds galore. It's a foolproof system.
Come on.
No, it's fine. If he didn't, he should confirm it, and that's right. And what you should say to me is, Dylan went to check. He didn't confirm.
I panicked.
Now I'm checked.
All right.
You got it. You panicked. Your pack. Never trust your gut. Never. Blinds galore. There's something you should trust. Your home reflects your personality. Blindsgalore.com believes you deserve custom-built quality blinds and shades that really bring out your style. Brand new window coverings from Blinds Galore will fit perfectly. They'll look like they belong in your home. Great action. Boy, summer's coming up, man. Get those blinds up there. They kick the heat out. The heat, you just get that greenhouse effect. You don't want that. Their experts will guide you from start to finish. You can do it online or you can do it over the phone. Plus, free samples, free shipping on top of free expertise. I have these things in my house. I have them in my studio. I have them everywhere. Edit Bay, literally just dial in the light in the Edit Bay. When we're going to watch something, we pull them shut. Get designer product without designer price. It's Blinds Galore. Dawson.
Whether you need more privacy to sleep in, to insulate your windows, or just fix up a room, Blinds Galore makes it easy. Visit BlindsGalore.com today and let them know Adam sent you. That's BlindsGalore.com.
All right. Quickly with some calls. Ron, 33, Chicago. Ron?
Ace man. Get it on.
What's going on?
Hey, so I've 33, obviously, successful guy. I have a young family. But lately, you know, the best way to describe it is I've just lost my motor. I developed a lot of bad habits and looking for some advice.
What are the bad habits?
You know, basically kind of letting myself go in every aspect of life. You know, just paying bills late, not because I don't have the money, just because I'm lazy, kind of mailing it in at work, that kind of stuff.
I think he needs his gut checked.
Yeah. I would do all the things we talk about. I have found personally that taking control of your body is sort of all encompassing. It's very global. It's like the first thing you do is you kind of take control of your body. I know it sounds trite or whatever, but if you think about it, like if you want to do better at work, you want to do better with your kids, you want to do better with your friends or whatever it is, like take control of your own house. And when I am not in control, when I'm just eating everything and too much and drinking too much and not exercising or whatever, I then notice that it's sort of a hub and all the things around it start to kind of suffer a little bit. So I have found, and it also falls under the heading, as Gina's tribe would say, is it couldn't hoit, which is start really, really focusing in on that diet and the exercise and the movement of just literally just moving, just like being on your feet, just being outdoors, you know, hiking, walking, jogging,
waking your body back up.
Yeah. And then really getting, really dialing in that diet in that, you know, live your life like a Michelob Ultra commercial. We're out. By the way, I've never seen piping hot chicks mountain biking at 5:45 in the morning. I'm going to have to check into that. And then really enjoying the bejesus out of a Miller.
Michelob.
A Michelob Ultra at like 11:45 in the morning. But
they're all on their Peloton bikes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're inside.
Mm. Anyway.
That's great advice. That's where the discipline starts.
I bet you Peloton could auction off those seats they use in a commercial on eBay and get, you know, send the money toward a children's hospital or something. I'm not saying buy jewelry with it, but I mean, some of those Peloton chips.
Yeah, it could be worth $100 million in
50 years.
So, Ron, I would like to take control of the life and the diet and that feeling, and I think Gina will echo this thought, which is like, when you start feeling like you're losing control of your body and your diet, like you're just getting sloppy and lazy and stupid and sort of slipping, and it's like you're reaching for stuff, and it's a little shameful, and then it's like, and then the thought isn't, well, I'm going to go exercise. It's like, I'm going to eat some more crap and watch some TV. Yeah. Like it's a very slippery slope. And so I think start with that and then have that just kind of emanate out into the rest of the family and the work. And it's a full-time job now, Ron. Like it's a very interesting thing. I just turned 54. I find myself thinking about, you know, my life, my habits, my diet, like things like more than I ever did. When I was 28, it's like get up, go to work, go home. It was just, there wasn't any food. There wasn't any
accessible temptation.
There was no temptation. There was nothing. There was just like, you're poor, you drive a Zuzu Trooper, you get up, you teach your class in the morning, then you go swing a hammer, then you go home. Drink off the hose if you want. If you want to eat, I don't know, go to Taco Bell. Like, who cares? You're on your feet all day. And then just go home and make yourself a pot of lentil soup or something. Or watch basic cable. It was just, there wasn't anything there. Now it's a constant sort of battle between don't do this, do that, but you can do this, but don't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, in the past, the barrier to entry for me and things I wanted to do was money. Now, my reality is I would pay three times for the cost of an In-N-Out burger to have half the calories of an In-N-Out burger to enjoy an In-N-Out burger, which is a weird position to be in, because before it was like, have as many In-N-Out burgers as you want, but you don't have the money.
Yeah.
And you'll just be up on your feet and you'll just be working it off and whatever. So I get it. Like, the temptation, the number of casinos that are in proximity of your home, just all the commercials and junk food and all the energy drinks and all the have and have nots and all the deliveries of everything. Like, it's just there always, all the time, and it's right on your phone. We are going to need to work overtime in the discipline department from don't have Post-it, bring over Baker's dozen of Krispy Kreme, and don't knee-jerk reaction reply to that shitty tweet someone just sent out to you. Like, emotionally, physically, nutritionally, it's just going to be a full-time job.
Emotional discipline.
Yeah. So, Ron?
Yeah, no, I think that's really good advice. And I think to kind of piggyback off that is, you know, I feel like I'm in this constant state of just trying to burn my pleasure sensors out. And I'm just bored and apathetic. And it's like, you know, I'm always going to happy hours with coworkers or, you know, going out to eat with the fam.
The more pleasure is the fastest way to burn it out. It's this weird, it's so counterintuitive, but it's like, I'm not enjoying going out to dinner anymore like I used to enjoy it. Okay, what's the answer? Better restaurant.
Yeah.
We need a bigger, better experience. Yeah. I need a bigger experience than this, a greater experience. It's like, oh, no, you don't. You need to take a super long walk and you need to just eat a half an avocado with a spoon right out of the husk. Like, that is the answer to what's going on in your head. Not, we need to step it up to a higher Michelin rating. But in your head, it's like, I need a better car and a better restaurant. that leads to suicide.
Well, not only are you exactly right, but we start lying to ourselves or getting lied to about what pleasure is. Because pleasure is that long walk. Pleasure is feeling good. But we start lying to ourselves. No, it's endless mozzarella sticks after work.
Over the weekend, Lynette was out of town. You know,
Ernan.
Natalia was with a friend. Philly had the flu or something, like Phil drooling and kind of not right. So he was like sort of laid out. And I told Sonny and one quick example. I said, Sonny, want to go get some breakfast? Me and you? He said, yeah. And then I said, why don't we walk? And he said, yeah. And just walking to breakfast made breakfast three times better.
Yep.
You have no idea. And you go, well, why? Get in the car. Turn the air conditioning on. Put the satellite on, radio on. You know, listen to Yacht Rock. Right. Crank up the air and drive to the stupid place. And it's like, I know it sounds like that would be better. And by the way, if it were 100 years ago, I could charge you to do that. Like, and by the way, I could like have sex with your wife or get a free horse from you or something for that ride. But it's too abundant now. The pleasure of walking and talking to the restaurant, eating at the restaurant, and then walking home made the experience much greater.
Yeah.
Even though you took the Jaguar out of the equation, you simplified it, you dumbed it down. So much more satisfying, so much more in general, and whatever Sonny's memories of it will, it'll have much more vivid memories of us walking and what we were talking about on the way there and so on and so forth. Well, there it is.
Yep.
You don't need a better restaurant. Get in the habit of walking to the restaurant or walking to the, I don't know, look, if you want a beer, have a beer. Walk to the liquor store. Like, just kind of get into that headset, and I guarantee you'll be happier in no time. All right, our guest is here, but one more call. Frank, San Diego, a NoFX question, the band.
Yes, hey, Adam, how are you guys? So NoFX played a festival in Vegas last weekend. It was a three-day punk rock festival, and they on stage, they said, oh, we just played a song about Muslims, and we didn't get shot. And then the other guy in the band says, oh, I guess you have to be... I'm trying to pull it up. You have to be.
I think we have it.
Yeah, we have the clip. Let's just.
I guess.
All right.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Man, I don't say getting shot in Vegas unless you're. If you're in a country band.
You know, it's. That sucked, but at least they were country fans and not punk rock fans.
Whoa.
Wait, that wasn't a Muslim thing. That was a country thing, right?
Right, it was. It started off as they were just played a Muslim song. And then he said, I guess you're only getting shot in Vegas if you're a country band. And then Mike says, I mean, that sucked, but at least they were country fans and not punk rock fans.
Oh, I see.
And then so Stone had just given them a huge sponsorship.
Who did?
To put out their own
Stone
beer.
Oh, yeah.
And they had their own line of beer selling really well. They like co-sponsored their entire tour. They were playing a festival this weekend named after their Punk and Drublic album. They got kicked off of that. They lost their Stone sponsorship. And just wondering your thoughts on that.
Well, it wasn't a great line.
So I have a thought, and I'll try to be consistent. I've said this many times. The part where it's Cecil the Lion, or the part where somebody put their hand on someone else's shoulder, but they felt like their personal space had been invaded or whatever, I don't really care. I prefer Cecil the Lion be alive. I'd prefer nobody put their hands on anybody, but the part where you felt threatened or you whatever, or somebody made a joke and you owe an apology, I don't have strong thoughts about that. I never really care. Let people say what they want, make the joke, whatever. When there's a body count, I do approach it differently. When there's a lot of dead people and then a lot of survivors who can hear things.
Right.
I do take that differently. And you could say, well, that's inconsistent. It's just words are words. And how do you get to pick and choose? And I go, I don't know. I pick and choose for myself. I don't like when you're doing jokes over, like, when the great white fire broke out and like 80 people died or 60 people died or 100 people died or whatever it was. And Great White's like a hair band and like they're a little bit washed up and they're playing this crappy club. And like, I remember like sort of sitting at the writer's table and it's like, hey, we're going to make some jokes. And I'm like, I don't, there's a bunch of dead people like, and they have kids, you know, and I say a bunch of stupid stuff. So I don't want to be, you know, a hypocrite, but I,
for you, that's not in your value system to do that.
I just don't look. I don't mind making fun of Asians or Jews or whoever, because it's just sort of global. I don't like getting into a person, you know, a school shooting or a concert or right. Great White. Great White was like kind of fodder for some jokes, but I don't like that, or I don't like it specifically connected to it.
To a tragedy.
Yeah, like I'm thinking about my stand-up, and there's like a 9/11 joke, but it's not a directed at 9/11 per se, or anybody, well, or any victims.
Not about
anyway.
The victim specifically. This was...
I don't like that, but this... Look, when you're on stage, you just say stuff and do stuff and whatever stuff. And you also, like when Hillary Clinton starts talking like she's black when she's in front of the congregation of black, you know, at the church or whatever.
She has
it's like
hot
it's kind of it's kind of thing that just happens.
Yeah.
And I get it. We're all that way. And when you're in front of your fans, you start saying things that you know is going to get a cheer and not get a boo and whatever. And I don't like the fact that everyone has a recording device, is able to grab everything and throw it out there. I do draw a distinction between a prepared statement and a reaction right. to something, or somebody said something off the cuff or something that lasts 10 seconds. Now, somebody's holding a phone, we've captured it, and you can no longer make a living.
Right.
I don't like that. And I also know the biggest fear for many comedians and many whoever's is... Everyone's just holding their phone up. They're going to grab the little thing, 10 seconds, probably out of context, mm-hmm. and throw it up mm-hmm. on TMZ, and now you're going to be out of a job.
Yep.
I don't like that. If people would like to go, hey, what NoFX said was deeply hurtful to me. I used to be a fan. That's over. I'm not going to their show anymore. Then that's fine. Vote with your pocketbook. Mm-hmm. That's my thoughts. Okay. We'll take a quick break. Sarah Gertrude Shapiro is here. We'll talk to her about her new TV show and many things, a lot of feminist stuff. I'm interested. We'll take a break. We'll do good sports. We'll do that right after this.
The Corolla Drinks Midsummer Beach Party, July 14th at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach, featuring Mo Lauda and The Humble. Mo Lauda and The Humble, plus Roses and Cigarettes. The Smoking Kills. Just another Southern California. The Beach is free. The Mangria and Endless Rant IPA and Lager will cost you a little bit. Mo Lauda and The Humble. You couldn't tell by now. Headlines the Corolla Drinks Midsummer Beach Party. July 14th at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach. Join us as we get it on the beach. For more, follow at Corolla Drinks and visit AdamCarolla.com.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Good sport.
It's time for a sports segment. It's time for Ace and Dave.
Good sport.
It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights. Mixed martial arts fights.
Riffing on bad Stallone movies. Raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping hockey.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to the newest episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Couple reminders. Make sure you go and check out Dave's of Thunder. It's back in action, available on Apple Podcasts, on Podcast One, and also the Dave Damashek football program, talking about pro football and all that. Also available on Apple Podcasts or wherever you like to get your podcasts from. Ace, how are we? Let's get into some good hot sports talk here. Well, okay, not really sports, but I've been meaning to ask you. When's the last time you threw up?
Oh, my dog threw up last night.
Okay.
And my dog threw up, I think, the night before, too, which is rough. I get yelled at by Lynette every time Phil throws up. He's 110 pounds.
Why is that yours? Why is that your responsibility that the dog threw up?
That part I don't get the blame for. The part I get the blame for is we have white, sort of shabby chic, novelty shag carpet that our bed is on. There's a border that sticks out about 3 foot all the way around the thing. And then after that is big 2 foot by 2 foot terrazzo tile. Literally the terrazzo tile at 2 foot by two. It's the stuff that's in an airport. You could take an egg and drop it on there and just wipe it up with a paper towel. A cat could throw up or take a dump. You just wipe. You laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So one surface is literally what's on the floor of LAX and bulletproof. The other is a deep white shag carpet. And the dog yaks on the carpet.
Why do pets do that always? Why don't they?
I have a theory. My theory...
There must be something legitimately tactile.
I've given it some deep thought. So what happens is the 110-pound dog who... that dog is a run stopper. That's the Vince Wilford of dogs, like big and black, man. That thing, he digs in. Phil, and I will tell you from like walking Phil, like if he digs in, he's dug in. He's not go. His paws are as big as bears.
Vince Phil Fork.
Yeah. So he digs in. So what happens is at 4:30 in the morning, you start hearing. You start hearing the noise.
They always give you the warning.
Then. I sit up in bed to see him in the prone position on, of course, the white shag with the surface next to it, which is essentially made whatever they make Teflon pans out of. Like, that's what's next to it. But he's going to hit all carpet. So I then jump off the bed in the underpants, sometimes with an erection, just to have it take a turn for the erotic. And I jump onto Phil.
Slower, please.
I don't jump onto Phil, but I start pushing him as hard as I can.
With your hands? Or
yeah, whatever gets there first. Usually the hands. And I start tugging.
Wiener's a haymaker. So bone in it.
I grab him by the collar, and I start shoving him. I'm trying to get him about 18 inches either forward or to the right, in which case he'll yak up all over this bulletproof piece of terrazzo versus the deep white shag. Lynette screams, "You're hurting him!" Like, in her mind, he's already throwing up, and now he's being choked by his owner, who's grabbing him, one sometimes by the collar, sometimes just around the chest, attempting. Now, he's in full dug-in position because he's in yak mode.
It requires urgent and powerful movement to move a 110-pound beast.
He's not going anywhere. He's not up for suggestions.
You're hurting him.
She's screaming, "You're hurting him." I'm screaming. Last night,
I love that that's what you have in your ear while you're trying to save the rug.
Last night, he yaks all over the carpet right next to my bed, right at this time on my side of the bed, like right next to where I sleep, next to one of my beloved slippers. Then, as I push him away and Lynette yells, "You're hurting him," proceeds to trot 6 feet toward the closet where he then finds the other square of carpet and yaks on to that carpet in a room that's 81% engineered wood flooring and or the aforementioned terrazzo tile. So obviously, and as I was falling asleep with this ringing in my ear as I was reaching for going to, you know, 5 a.m. to go find the Simple Green and the paper towels with the "you're hurting him" ringing in my ear. Lynette is
I
also,
mean, your entire masturbation session couldn't have even been enjoyable with all that going
not,
on around.
No, obviously it was done, but it was done with a heavy sack.
No, because you're a pro.
Right. I'm a pro. No, rules are rules. The Lynette has another rock solid theory that's steeped in scientific data, which is my yanking on him causes his seizures, which he then has after. I'm not a veterinarian, but I'd like to, pardon the pun, vet that theory with a veterinarian to see if me yanking on my dog actually sends him into a seizure after that.
Well, I'll see.
So now, why she hasn't been able to prove that theory, but she's just kicking it around. Basically, it's two steps away from me just being an evil sorcerer, essentially, is what she's thinking.
I like that within the span of one sentence, before you get to the period, it can go from a theory into it being a fact based on your reaction to it. If you say, like, "I think you might be causing his seizures, jerk," you know, right, that kind of wait a minute. There's no proof to that whatsoever. You're demonizing me. Yeah, I love that discourse in my own home.
Yeah, I would also say,
you don't know that that's true. You're just saying it now because I'm refuting it. I'm a bad person.
So I'm trying to kick the dog now off the carpet and onto the tile, but he doesn't move. He digs in, and like I said, he doesn't. When he digs in, he digs in. Now I think I know what's going on from an socio-animalistic standpoint as far as Philly cheesesteak and his love of high shag pile carpet.
And?
When I would wrestle with Phil and play roughhouse with Phil in the living room and in my office, and so, you know, Phil has a kind of a witching hour somewhere around 8 o'clock when I'm sitting there watching TV, he'll come up to me and like smack me with his paw, and then he'll just start barking at me, and then he'll start like snapping and punching me with his paw and stuff. And that means he wants to wrestle, you know. Now, Phil knows that he can wrestle with me in my office as much as we want because I have wall to wall shag or carpet. He also knows that in the living room, there's a big piece of carpet for him to get traction on. But he also knows that in between those with the terrazzo, that's a danger zone because he doesn't get traction on it. So he'll stand in the middle of the living room. Gary can find a picture at some point. He'll stand on that carpet, and I'll stand back on the terrazzo 8 feet away from the edge of the carpet. And I'll go, "Come on, you want to get some? Come out into the deep water so I can drown you." And he'll start to inch out, but he knows he doesn't get traction. He knows I'll catch him. The whole plan is I got to catch up to him. And on the carpet, he's got all the traction in the world.
Huh.
On the hardwood or on the tile, he feels vulnerable. Feels like he can't get away. What he does is he does the Scooby-Doo burnout when you go after him on that. He slides out. He can't get any traction. So when we're playing, he'll very coyly venture out from the carpet island, but he never gets so far away that he knows he's going to be vulnerable. So I think he yaks on the carpet.
Because he has better situational game awareness than J.R. Smith.
Yes. Yes, he does. And he also probably knows it's more work for me and more arguments and more Suris.
Yeah, maybe he likes
I don't even know what your original question was.
I was asking about when you threw up, but that was more entertaining.
I haven't thrown up in a long time. I have a dog.
It's weird.
I have a dog who throws up. Ever since I really figured out alcohol consumption, you know, in a real meaningful way,
mm-hmm.
I haven't yacked.
That's. I mean, I went like, I don't know exactly how long I tried to do the math on it. I went about 11 years without having the hiccups, but that I broke that string about 4 years ago, much to my chagrin. I hate the hiccups. Ugh! Hate them almost as much as bare feet. All right, here we go, here we go out the door here. We're back with more Podcast One Sports, good sports talk. For Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, speak with you tomorrow.